All right, looks like everybody settled in. I appreciate. Good morning. It's 10:55. We had a moment to do whatever we needed, and I'll call this meeting of the Audit, Compliance, and Title IX Committee to order. Winter, Ms. Winter, will you please take roll call?
Chair Brager?
Here.
Vice Chair Del Carlo?
Here.
Regent Batista? Here. Regent Boylan?
Aye.
Regent Goicoechea?
Present.
You do have a quorum present.
Thank you so much, and thank you to everyone that is here. If you're on line on the committee or not on the committee, which I would call on committee members first, please, if I don't see you, just give a little shout out, because it's is a little bit different. Okay, we will go on to public. Let me make sure I'm doing it right here. I usually know how. We will now take agenda item number one, public comment. Is there any public comment in GBC? Oh, I'll get to us.
There's none at this time.
Thank you very much. Is there any comment in Reno?
None in Reno.
Thank you. Is there any comment in Las Vegas? And I see a young person. If you'd like to come up to the microphone, you have the allotted time that you'll see on the screen, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Appreciate it. Oh, it's been a while since I've been in front of you. Good morning, Regents. My name is Dylan Hinton. I am an independent investigator and undergraduate student at UNLV. Over the last few months, I've spoken with most of you on the board about systemic discrimination and corruption within my university. Today, I come with urgent system-wide updates that I believe the Audit, Compliance, and Title IX Committee should launch a full investigation into as soon as possible. So since we last spoke, I've initiated an NC-wide audit into every one of our institution's reporting systems. While only half have complied with my records request so far, I have enough information to start drawing conclusions. At UNR, while 475 formal complaints were submitted over the last 3 years, 92% did not even leave the desk, being closed through administrative review. When investigations were conducted for both Title IX and non-Title IX, they ended with no finding of responsibility in 99% of cases. The race data is missing 63% of demographic information on both complainants and respondents, making it literally impossible to draw any conclusions from. There is also strong evidence that there is systemic underreporting across all sectors, potentially due to power dynamics or fears of retaliation. Faculty are significantly more likely to be named as respondents than all other classifications, and women are over two times as likely to file a claim than men. Men are almost two times as likely to be named as respondents. In addition, Western Nevada College has only had four complaints over the same period, all ending with either dismissal or no finding. And the Desert Research Institute reports it has not received a single complaint since 2022, a disturbing and bafflingly improbable claim, given that the power dynamics at play in these research programs with graduate students and faculty. I'll provide more information at the end of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comments from the Las Vegas? Seeing none, any from the telephone?
There's none at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. We will then...
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Deputy General Counsel Kerry Parker. Pursuant to the open meeting law, could you please just read the number that the public may call in for public comment? Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. I didn't mean to be remiss. They may dial 669-444-9171. The meeting ID, 933-5568-7402. And the passcode is 555-555. And we'll pause for just a minute here to see if there is anyone that would like to call in on those numbers. I apologize for not getting those out there. It's a lot of numbers, so I'll wait a moment. Okay, I think what we'll do, if we end up having any calls, if you would just interrupt me, then I'd be more than happy to make sure that we follow protocol and make sure that they're heard. Thank you very much. We're going to go to consent agenda. If there's not a need to take anything separately, we could do item 2A, B, C at one time, unless there's anyone that has a desire to take anything separately. Hello? Anybody on our committee that wants to do that? Come on.
Come on.
I'm going to help you.
I'll make a motion to approve, ma'am.
Thank you so much. And we have a motion from Regent Boylan and a second from Regent Batista. All those in favor signify by aye. It would be item 2A, 2B, and 2C.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, thank you very much. We will move on to item number 3, which is the chair's report. At this point in time, I'm going to wait, and we're going to actually go to item number 4 next, is when I would like to make a comment. Other than that, there's really... we've all looked at the agenda. We've all asked questions. We've had some briefings with people. I'll leave that chair's report at that at this time. Any comments from anyone? Seeing none. Okay, item number 4. And I would like to make a slight comment before we get into that and the change in the leadership at GBC. We are going to hear from our auditor, Ms. Tripp, and I think what's really great about this, and I believe after the comments I make, if anyone has a comment, obviously I'm more than happy to call on you, but there was something back in about 2017 or 2018 that, in all honesty, got overlooked. And we do have better procedures, more procedures. We have all the leadership that was there, almost all the people that were on the board are no longer on the board. There was a situation that has been corrected. I will tell you that the past president of GBC was very, very gracious. She did take care of an outstanding debt that is now not a debt and does not come up on anything that we'd be doing when we have our overview of an audit that will be with not our internal, but our external auditors. I'm so excited that it was able to be taken care of in a very professional, kind manner. That Chris Vitone is very aware, the chancellor is aware, our auditor, Lauren Tripp, is aware, myself, and I just find that moving on, we're looking at, I've given some ideas on how anything could not be remiss in the future. If that comes to be viable and the chancellor would like to move on with that, we can let it be a board agenda item. Right now, it's just being discussed. That might never put us in a position, but there's a lot that goes to an audit, and we have between the 8 campuses. And when you think of, just if I use biology, I think there's 51 or 50-some different individual items. So know that this is not an easy task, but an honest task. I want you to know that this was done with integrity and honesty. So as we go through item number 4, if anyone has a question, I'm more than happy to have those that understand what went on to answer you. But I just want you to know that it was taken care of just to the utmost honesty, integrity, and due diligence from the past president. And as we move forward, we feel like it would be pretty close to impossible for something like that to happen again. So I thank all of you for letting me have that say. We'll go on to item number 4, which is Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp will present for approval the report and institutional response to the GBC change in leadership audit for the period of July 1st, 2022 through June 30th, 2024. The committee will discuss the audit findings and recommendations and may recommend specific action to the Board of Regents and or the Chancellor to address the findings, and recommendations. Ms. Tripp, thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair Brager. For the record, Lauren Tripp, Chief Internal Auditor. So I'll just give a little bit of background about these change in leadership audits. So historically, when there's a change in institutional president or chancellor, we perform what we call exit audits, or what have come to be known as change in leadership audits. These typically occur within the first year or so of them leaving. The purpose of these audits is to provide the incoming leader with a quick internal review of key operational areas, helping to ensure things are functioning as intended, or alternatively, to identify some areas that maybe could benefit from some improvements or additional attention. As this committee has heard in the past, risk levels inherently increase when there's a change in process, system, or personnel. These audits historically include things such as an expenditures review, such as host operating travel, financial account review, legal action contracts, equipment, capital projects, similar areas such as that. I'm jumping ahead a bit, but you'll see a significant amount of time scheduled to these types of audits in the work plan, which will be presented later. With that background in mind, we had some recommendations for strengthening controls related to ensuring compliance with contract terms, policies, improving equipment inventory processes, strengthening controls surrounding expenditures, travel host, and following policy related to capital projects, performing more timely account reviews. But I also just wanted to take a moment to thank GBC staff for their help throughout this audit. There was some personal turnover, which never makes an audit, it makes an audit more challenging, and staff was absolutely incredible. Every time we came up with, identified an area that could be improved, staff would immediately take action, work on measures to correct the issue. I feel like President Dinelli, you've been super great with that process too, and your team has just been great. So I wanted to thank them for their help throughout this audit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any comments or questions by the committee first? Seeing none. Oh, go ahead, sir. Regent Gorchica. Just messed that up, and I know what your name is.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Regent Gorchica for the record. But I guess, you know, all in all, and looking at the audit, and I guess my concern is that it did go a little so long before we caught it, and I'm assured now that it won't happen again. And I look at 145 pages of audit. That's, you know, that's a deep audit, and so I can understand why it wasn't picked up just in a, you know, and a wider overview kind of an audit. Those little things that, you know, got down to, you know, car and some of those. Some of them are not very much over a 10-year period. Let's be honest, or 8-year period. So, yeah. So, but I guess the assurance is mainly that we need to catch up with it. You know, I would hope we would pick up it in the future in a little more timely manner. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for your comments. And I will say the past president was very gracious upon finding that out, and that has been paid. So the records are straight. And we do have some new procedures, which everybody can improve all the time. And so I feel like this is going to be a great improvement that will make the audit committee very happy as we proceed through anything that goes on through our tenure.
There's nothing like an audit or the lack of it. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. This is for possible action. And so if everybody did read and do their homework on any of the recommendations and the findings for the Board of Regents and or the Chancellor, is there a motion to accept?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We have a...
It's better from you, and I second that, ma'am.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Yes, ma'am.
All those in favor signify by aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number 5. And thank you so much for understanding that and knowing that great things come out of sometimes when something happens. Say what it was. I was just looking to you. Agenda item number 5, special course and differential program fees, UNLV. Chief Auditor Lauren Tripp will present for approval the report and institutional response to UNLV special course and differential program fees audit for the period of July 1st, 2023 through March 31st, 2025. The committee will discuss the audit findings and recommendations and may recommend specific action to the Board of Regents and or the Chancellor to address the findings and recommendations. And this is for possible action. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Chair Breger. For the record, Lauren Tripp, Chief Internal Auditor. So there are a few things we consider for these types of audits. It usually involves a reconciliation between what was approved out at the institution, so those fees that are less than 50, then fees over $50 or that were approved by the board against what's actually being charged in the student information system. Are the expenditures extraordinary? Are the funds accumulating? Are they being used to benefit the students during that term? Or are we seeing them accumulate year after year, so maybe that fee needs to be discontinued or the amount changed? So that's kind of just some background on what we review for these types of audits. We understand that fees remain a hot topic item, and we're continuing to cycle through each institution. I wanted to emphasize a couple items for this report. It's labeled specifically as a special course and differential program fees audit. Within the scope section of our audit report, we also reviewed additional student fees, focusing on student fees that are charged to all students within the Procedures and Guidelines Manual, Chapter 7, Section 11. So that would include fees such as academic success, student association fee, student life fee, those kinds of fees. The other item I want to emphasize is that as part of our review, we want to perform additional validation procedures. So we reviewed balances on reports that had been previously submitted to the board and ran reports independently in our department to ensure numbers matched. We had no exceptions related to this review and plan to reform this step on the future fees-related audits. In regards to the audit findings noted during this engagement, we noted recommendations in the following areas: to create additional program accounts to improve transparency of transactions, continue to review accounts with excessive reserves to develop plans for complying with board policy, strengthen controls and clearly communicate guidance on expenditures of funds, and lastly, strengthen the review of existing fees. When reviewing the current process and comparing it to peer institutions nationwide and best practices, our recommendation includes a more formalized periodic review with a committee to provide a better assessment of the fees and stakeholder input. And I also wanted to take a moment to thank UNLV staff for their support during this audit as well, especially the compliance department, because they did a lot of legwork ahead of us coming out there. They reviewed a lot of these fees and performed their own assessments, which helped make our work out there a lot easier too. So it was a good collaboration with the compliance team. So thank you.
Is there any comments or questions in regards to item number 5? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so we understand all the recommendations have been accepted, and just moving forward, is that's the way I read it. And they will be implemented as they can.
This button hates me. Sorry, Lauren Tripp, Chief Internal Auditor. Yeah, there's one, I believe, that relates to there's some that's going to take a little bit of time based on the timing of when the fees have to be in the system, I believe it is. And there's one related to policy that will take a little bit longer, but it's in motion. So like the committee one, that's probably going to take a bit. Yeah.
Excuse me. Thank you, Madam Chair. Regent Goykechea for the record. And I think that's the main thing, as long as the recommendations have been accepted and understanding
so
it will take time.
Yeah, they agree with them, and they plan to move them forward.
That makes me comfortable. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments or questions? Anyone on the committee? Seeing none at this time, we are open for a motion to accept the findings and recommendations and any specific actions that were discussed.
Regent Goykechea for the record, motion to approve.
Thank you, sir.
I'll second that, Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. We have a motion and a second on item number 5. All those in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Oh, sorry. Hearing none, we will move on to item number 6. Internal Audit Department Work Plan and Status Report. Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp will present the approval of the Internal Audit Work Plan for the 6 months period ending December 31st, 2025, and the Internal Audit Department Status Report for the 6 month period ending June 30th, 2025. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Breger. This is a whole lot of Lauren talking. Sorry, guys. Yeah, that is true, I guess. So, Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp. So for this item, over time, we've shifted from presenting the audit work plan from a yearly basis to biannually. When we set the plan yearly, this didn't allow as much flexibility, and as we all know, priorities and risks can change quite rapidly. This approach is good for a few reasons. This better aligns ourselves to be able to be more agile and flexible in how we perform our work, and this also gives the committee a much more realistic estimate and snapshot of what we plan to work on, the progress of the current projects, and the monitoring of things that we have worked on. The question I probably get asked the most is, how do we determine what we audit? So on pages 3 and 4, this describes a bit how the plan was put together. There's a wide variety of potential areas to audit and limited resources. So first, we have our risk assessment matrix. I won't get too much into the technicalities of it, but it basically lists every area that we could audit at every campus or at each institution, and this is called the audit universe. From this listing, we assign a risk ranking to each risk category. So there's categories such as financial risks, so think revenues, expenditures, regulatory risk, which could be HIPAA, federal regulations. Each of these categories is assigned a value 1 through 5. There's some weighted calculations involved, which I won't bore you with. And this is based on risk. So there's quite a few audits that we haven't done in a few years because of the rankings. We also solicit input from business officers and other constituents. The last thing we want to do is audit an area that isn't a value to them and they would feel like it would be a waste of everyone's time. I've received some great suggestions over the years from these individuals. We also have some required audits, such as the host audits per policy and the change in leadership audits. We also take into consideration the hotline submissions coming in. Is there an area that we're getting frequent calls which might indicate a larger concern? Is it even something that we would be able to audit? So we take that into consideration along with things such as external audits and findings that resulted from those to incorporate into our work plan. And we also keep our ears open for other concerns. This could include requests during other meetings or things going on that are issues for other institutions across the country. We have a membership to ACUA, which is the Association of College and University Auditors, and they have quite an active forum where individuals discuss issues that they may be encountering at their institution. So there's quite a variety of different areas we consider when determining our work plan. There are also often important unforeseen projects that come out throughout the year where we have to have the ability to provide resources in a timely fashion. A huge part of what we strive to do in our department is to add value and provide services beyond that of traditional assurance services. And one of those ways is assisting with these types of requests. So I'll go briefly over some highlights and themes. The work plan has time built into the budget for training. We need to continue to educate ourselves in order to stay relevant and better assist our clients, who in this case are the institutions. Some of the themes, awareness, we continue to look for opportunities to reduce or eliminate gaps in controls, keeping a pulse on what's important. We want to help where it'll make a difference. We need to remain aware of hot topics that might be coming up with similar organizations, attempt to be more proactive. We've implemented surveys that we send out after the completion of an audit to receive feedback, which helps us recognize areas we can improve on in our department. Collaboration with other groups remains crucial. This includes groups such as legal, HR, compliance, other auditors. I wish we could say we were experts in all areas, but we aren't, and we strive to create great working relationships with the people who truly are the subject matter experts. There will always be risks out there, so I anticipate we'll continue to have more collaboration between these groups. The hotline, our role, continues to include facilitation of cases to proper subject matter experts and respond in a timely manner. And technology, we have been having some ongoing discussions with software vendors to identify potential features that can help drive efficiency. The team has been on some webinars related to ways to safely utilize AI, along with considerations on how to incorporate data analytics into testing. We want to work smarter and not harder. So how can we utilize technology, but also consider the cost should not outweigh the benefits? We have also hired a senior internal auditor who brings a fresh perspective on how we can update some processes. Resources, this remains a priority for this year to hire additional staff. The team has been great about cross-pollinating. We have Reno auditors helping with Las Vegas audits and like both ways. On page 7, you will see some of the charts and graphs tracking our open findings. This graph tracks the unresolved findings where we now show 5-year trends. You'll see the direction the graph is going, and it's an uptick. There are a couple reasons for this. The first is due to timing. There were a few audit reports that went to the March committee meeting that have been resolved, as noted in the follow-up reports for this meeting, but because of the timing of this report, they're showing as open findings until the next report. Also, policy findings take a significant amount of time to close since they need to go through a lengthy review and approval process. About half of those open items, I would say, fall within that category. The silver lining to those items is some of them have been in progress for a little bit now and should be nearing completion. formally tracking and monitoring open exceptions is a useful metric and helps identify from an internal audit perspective how many open issues there are, how many past issues do we have. Beyond general accountability, that's typically a strong indicator of if management is buying in and their willingness to accept our recommendations as we partner with them. And with that, that concludes my remarks for the work plan and status report.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments in regards to item number 6? You can be it today, Regent Gokachia.
Thank you, Regent Gokachia, for the record. Now, I see this is for a 6-month time frame. Is that, and again, I've only been here about 6 months, so is that normal? In most cases, you see an annual audit, and that's really it. But is 6 months the time frame we look at it initially then?
Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp. So it used to be annual. So then we changed it to twice a year so that it would be more flexible if we needed to, like something urgent came up, and then we could adjust the plan instead of having a more, I don't want to say stagnant, but like a more set audit plan that we might not be as flexible to move around. So that's, it used to be a year, but now it's twice a year. That's my long answer.
Again, Regent Gokachia for the record. That's great as long as you've got the time and the staff to get it done. It looks like an awful burden on staff.
We do have audits that roll forward a bit because we are short-staffed, or a little short-staffed, right now. But, yeah.
Yeah, a 6-month audit is, if everybody in local government or government did that, we'd have to have a lot more auditors, I guess. That's all I can say. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And just so you know, sir, we do have our annual audit for outside. So we do have an external audit that will be coming up, and they look at what they gave us last time to correct, and they look at those corrections. And then if they see anything else, we look at that again to see how we fine-tune anything. So it's really important, and our audit team, I think they could use a few more people, but budget restraint sometimes just puts a heavy load on them. But we work on that all the time, and we'll continue to work on that. But I love your questions. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
This is a possible action item. It would be approving the internal audit work plan for the 6-month period ending December 31st, 2025, till that June 30th, 2025 date. Going to be our guy? Okay, we have a motion from Regent Boylan, second from Regent Batista. All those in favor signify by aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, thank you so much. The next item is information only. And so we will once again to our internal audit compliance and or Title IX updates. And I'm just going to say something very quickly here. I'm going to speak with the chancellor about this and the powers to be. I really feel like Title IX should be its own committee. And I'd like us to look at that and see why we have it under the audit committee. I think there's explicit things that come under that. And it's just a thought, but maybe it's a thought we can discuss in the future. But for right now, Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp will provide general remarks, which may include department updates, initiatives, alignment related to ongoing risk assessments, or themes observed and or updates on incident management processes. No specific action is requested on this agenda item. However, the committee may provide, obviously and always, any comments and feedback. Please, to you once again, Ms. Tripp.
Thank you, Chair Prager. This section is a standing item to be able to provide some departmental updates, have a placeholder for discussion. In the past, this has been used as a platform to update the committee on financial aid-related findings, provide any other updates on board-related initiatives. I'm going to provide a couple quick department updates and then share the rest of my time today with Interim Chief Human Resources Officer Kelly Sherrato to provide a Title IX update. So our external auditors are still deep into testing, and we are working on wrapping up the section we were assigned this year for student financial aid. For those who may not be aware, usually a member from our team is embedded with their team for student financial aid for us to get a discount on our bill. So we're almost done wrapping that up. As far as I know, we're still on track for them to present at the December meeting. I mentioned this briefly, updater. I can't talk today, sorry. I mentioned this briefly earlier, but we plan to have continued discussions related to upgrading our audit software. Currently, there are processes that we perform manually, such as a risk assessment that can be incorporated into audit software, along with other cool features like where we can send out an email with a link to whoever we're auditing. They can click on the link and respond, and it would directly come back into the system. So there's some really awesome features out there that would help with things we are currently doing manually. And lastly, I think this has already been brought up, but we're working on hiring. Usually there's a position between myself and then the senior auditor, so we're working on filling that position within the next few months, I hope. Other than that, we have a lot of audits in motion, and with that, since I am definitely not a Title IX expert, Interim Chief Human Resources Officer Kelly Sherrato, if you could please help me with some updates.
Okay. Thank you, Lauren. Good morning, Chancellor, Audit, Compliance, and Title IX Committee, Chair Brager, Vice Chair Del Carlo, members of the committee, and colleagues. I appreciate the opportunity to provide today's Title IX update on behalf of the Title IX offices across NCHI institutions, including system administration. Across our system, institutional Title IX offices remain actively engaged in coordinated meetings to review policy, share best practices, and ensure consistency in how we address unlawful discrimination and harassment. This collaboration has been especially valuable in identifying where the Board of Regents handbook and NCHI Procedures and Guidelines Manual can be streamlined and modernized to strengthen protections and clarify our responsibilities. Currently, our group is focused on finalizing the proposed revisions to both the code and PGM for submission at the December 2025 and March 2026 Board of Regents meetings. A key component of these revisions is the incorporation of the statutory definition of power-based violence under NRS 396.1285, which the board approved for inclusion at its June 2025 quarterly meeting. Embedding this definition into policy is a crucial step in ensuring that our framework reflects both state and national best practices. Our planned areas of focus for FY26, looking ahead to this fiscal year, the collective work of the Title IX offices will continue with regular updates in our four priority areas. Number one, policy revisions, completing ongoing updates to the code and PGM to ensure clarity, consistency, and alignment with federal and state requirements. Number two, education, training, and communication, expanding strategies to strengthen Title IX literacy and increase confidence in reporting across all campuses, including thorough use of learning and case management systems. Number three, complaint procedures and awareness, reviewing existing processes, communications, and outreach efforts to ensure that students, faculty, and staff are fully aware of their rights and the mechanisms available for filing complaints. And number four, accessibility of resources, evaluating the availability and accessibility of Title IX and EEO resources and materials across institutions to promote equity and transparency. This collective effort represents an ongoing partnership amongst our campuses to advance compliance, strengthen policy, and foster a positive culture and climate across NCHI. A special thank you to the representatives of the Title IX offices across NCHI. Your collaboration and commitment to this work is invaluable, and we come together weekly to be able to discuss these items and make progress. Also, finally, thank you to the Chancellor, Audit, Compliance, and Title Committee, and Lauren, for your continued attention to Title IX and support. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much. Any questions by the committee?
One quick question.
What's quick mean to you? No, I'm just going. Go ahead.
I ask the quick question. They take long to answer, ma'am. Now, your Title IX, I agree with what the chair said, that we should have a separate committee for that because there's a lot of work. What's your opinion on that?
I have a few opinions.
Go for it.
But from a human resources and Title IX standpoint, the work that we do collectively is very important. It'd be nice to have more consistency and collaboration on that. So I think that would be a great benefit to our system.
Thank you, ma'am. I agree with the chair.
Thank you, Chair.
That's a big plus when he agrees with you.
I'll take that as a win.
Any other comments or questions by anyone else? Anyone not on the committee? Anything, Amy? Okay, then we are going to move on to new business. That's been read to us many times that this has item may be suggested, and under the new business, limited to description and clarification of the subject matter of the item, which may include reasons for the request. No discussion may occur at this time due to the open meeting law. Are there any new business items? Regent Boylan.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. I think in the next meeting or something under new business, I'd like to bring attention to what a young student, Darren, did. I don't know if he's still here or he's gone. All the research and everything that has been done by him and others, I think that we need to really bring this to a discussion for the board. There's a lot of things in there. I think that the board needs to take a look into, especially the audit committee and then the Title IX lady. Did she go away?
Yeah, she's right there.
Okay. Oh, thank you. All right. So I think we should have this discussion in one of our meetings, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that recommendation. Any other new business items? Seeing none, I will go back to public comment. Any public comment at I'll wait till we get to Las Vegas. Any public comment at GBC?
There is none at this time.
Thank you very much. Any public comment at the system office in Reno?
None at this time.
Thank you very much. We have a public comment here in Las Vegas, and then we will be going to the phones where we did give out the number earlier. Thank you. Yes, sir. Or young man.
You can tell I do this a lot. There we go. All right. Hello, Regents. My name is Dylan Henton for the record, H-I-N-T-O-N. I just would like to go a little further into the audits I was talking about a little bit earlier. So that you have the most information to work with going into future meetings. So across all my records requests, it has become increasingly apparent that there are no system-wide reporting standards that our institutions follow to log discrimination or and civil rights violations. So, for instance, when a non-Title IX case occurs in UNLV, records that UNLV records the specific basis of discrimination that was reported along with other aggregated non-identifiable characteristics, pretty standard. In contrast, Western Nevada College informed me that they do not have any online database at all. They gave me all of their records, and there were four cases, and three resulted in no finding, and one was a dismissal. So there are still some or colleges that are still back and behind date, at least from what I can tell. I've only had four, so I still only have half, so I don't want to give too much of an answer there yet, but similar circumstance that UNR collects data on all three types of Title IX sex discrimination standards, but UNLV does not collect on that. It just has a broad definition for it. So when our institutions are inconsistent with how they keep track of key information, we all become blind to what is actually going on in our higher education system. And most importantly, if victims are actually being heard. So I encourage the board to look into establishing system-wide requirements for tracking information on Title IX and non-Title IX discrimination case demographics. So, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your comments. Any other comments here in Las Vegas? Seeing none, any comments on the telephone?
There are no callers at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. Thank you.